Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Welcome, brethren. God bless you. Let's pray and ask the Lord's grace upon us. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all you've done for us and all you're planning to do for us and your wonderful plan that you're revealing to us. We're sorry that we're not more grateful, Lord. We don't want to be complainers like the Israelites in the wilderness. We want to just be praising and giving thanks to you for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us grace, Lord, to walk that way. Lord, we're talking about very untraditional things, and we're asking you, Lord, to give us all grace to understand, Lord, the brethren that are used to hearing just certain things, certain ways, and traditionally accepting what's been taught them. I just ask that you give them grace to understand what we're getting into today, and grace to understand the signs of the times and not to be deceived by the Pharisees' religions. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy today, in Jesus' name. Well, brethren, we've been having a study of the end times here. We've been studying the beast and what exactly he is and what exactly he encompasses. And we discovered last week that that the last beast that Daniel spoke about would devour the whole earth. That means all mankind would be in this beast. And that this beast made up, according to Revelation, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And that the whole world lieth in the evil one. And over and over we saw this principle, you know, in verses. And I'd like to point out some more concerning this covenant now. What's the nature of this covenant that the beast is making? And who's involved in it? We've heard from tradition that Israel's going to make a covenant with some handsome fella that's going to take over the world. But we found out that wasn't true. That was just fairy tales, like a lot of the stuff we hear out of apostate Christianity. Well, let's look at the aspect of this seven-year covenant. And even in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the dragon and the beast covenant. Okay, you know, as Christ has a corporate body with whom he has made a covenant, so it is with Antichrist. As we saw earlier, everything with Antichrist is the opposite of Christ. It's kind of equal, but it's opposite. Okay, well, this seven-year covenant will unite the world, including natural Israel. Some people say it's only with Israel. That's false. It will unite the world, including natural Israel, in a seven-headed, ten-horned body. And that is the covenant that we're going to look at. A lot of people don't recognize that as the covenant, but it is. You know, behind the scenes, things are going on to put together this covenant as we speak. There is a secular aspect of this covenant, and then there's a religious aspect of it. I'd like to talk about both and how they join together. One thing that I have seen is that the World Constitution and Parliament Association, the WCPA, has envisioned this covenant. Their aim is to replace the current UN Constitution with the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. You can do a search on the internet and you can read that Constitution. It's fairly amazing how it agrees with the Scriptures. Not with God's kingdom, but with the kingdom that we know is coming upon the scene, the one world order that is coming upon the scene. it pretty well describes it. The Global Ratification and Elections Network is well organized in most of the nations of the world and are currently ratifying the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. And they're doing it through both governments that are in agreement with it and non-governmental organizations. You know, the Ten Kingdoms are to be made in this Constitution for the Federation of Earth from 10 continental divisions of the whole Earth. Many years ago, I even saw a map of the plan for the different divisions of the continents. And this divisions of the continents is not for local government. It's like we have a government in the UN right now. It is concerning world matters, see. There are still going to be local governments. But the thing is, they will be giving authority unto the beast kingdom in world matters. So 10 kingdoms are to be made from 10 continental divisions of the whole earth. Once again, we see that the last beast is going to devour the whole earth. Matter of fact, we see the beginning of it now in the UN. The UN, inside the UN, is the whole earth. And the purpose of this is to do away with national, ethnic, and religious boundaries for the sake of peace. As you know, most of our wars have to do with religious wars. And we'll talk about that a little bit more too. Well, this will unite the seed of all seven previous heads of the earth. World ruling kingdoms over the earth. There's been seven of them. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and now a revived Rome is being raised up. So this Constitution for the Federation of Earth, I'm not saying that this is the ultimate and last and final covenant, but it sure looks like it. And if it's not, it'll definitely, the principles there will definitely be used, because it does preach a 10 kingdom world. This will unite the seed of all seven previous heads of the earth, hence a seven-headed, ten-horned body for the spirit of the beast from the abyss. As we saw earlier, the one who makes the covenant is not a man. The one who makes the covenant is a principality. Read it in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10. All the princes there were principalities, every last one of them. And that prince that went to the abyss from the dissolution of the Roman Empire is coming to restore that empire. And he is the one that's going to make the covenant with many. Now, under this Constitution, the world parliament's decisions are supreme and are to be implemented by the presidium. You know, we think of presidents as someone who rules over the people, but actually, the Constitution for the Federation of Earth works the other way around. It's really, if you are a worldly person and you don't know the Bible and you don't know the plan in the latter days, you would say, if you read it, this is a very honest form of government. Frankly, that's what I thought when I read it, because it's implemented from the bottom up, not from the top down. The presidium has no veto power or executive order. In other words, he's at the mercy of the people. He has ultimate sovereignty for this whole plan, resides in all the people on the earth. Quote, I just quoted that out of the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, Article 2 and 2. Their plan in the Constitution for the Federation of Earth is with 10 divisions of the earth, continental divisions of the earth, that there will be a king for every two divisions. That was their plan. But we know that there's going to be a king for every division, because we read it in Revelation 17 and 12. You know, what would cause the world to bring this thing together? I can tell you what's going to cause it. A war is going to cause it. Every time there's been war, there's been a new world order. You know, a war, World War I brought, the League of Nations, World War II brought, the United Nations and World War III will bring, yes, the dragon of Revelation 12. And where is this secular aspect of the covenant in Revelation? Well, the Bible says he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And we, of course, see that 1 week over in the book of Revelation. The Constitution for the Federation of Earth in Article 17, Section B, calls for the implementing of the world constitution in stages. Revelation declares this staged 7-year covenant of the many with the beast. The first stage of the beast is the dragon in Revelation chapter 12. The dragon rules for 3.5 years. Revelation 12:3 says, "And there was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his heads, 7 diadems or crowns. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent. And there was given to the woman the 2 wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent." Well, we see that the dragon ruled for 3.5 years, a time, time, and a half of times. And during that time, the woman was forced into the wilderness. And this is the first beast of Revelation chapter 12. Now, there's another beast in Revelation chapter 13, which is the second stage of the beast government and the beast covenant. And in Revelation 13:1, "I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems or crowns." Now, the difference between the first beast and the second beast is the heads had the crowns first, and now the horns have the crowns, the 10 horns. The 10 continental divisions now have the crowns. In other words, the world has been ruled by really different ethnic groups with a historical and cultural past, and they usually block vote in the UN in order to get their way. That's normally the way things have been. But now, what's being done is their plan is to divide the world up according to continental divisions instead of divisions according to race, nationality, religion. You know, that's the way most countries are broken today. And of course, this causes war. The world knows this is causing war. Right now, religions from the West are warring with the East. And the world can see that. That's why the world is coming up with this tolerance thing lately. You know, because this war is basically between two different religious and ethnic groups with a vastly different cultural background. Chapter 13, verse 5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and there was given unto him authority to continue 42 months. Well, there's 3.5 years under the beast of Revelation 13. There is your 7-year covenant. And notice, this covenant is with secular peoples of the world. But it doesn't stop there. This is part of the 7-year covenant with many. And of course, we know that that beast made war with the saints. What we're seeing in the second stage of the covenant is a total commitment of national governments to an international government when it comes to national things, you know, like wars. You know, the problem that the world is seeing now is that there are nations out there who are big enough and strong enough that they can go things unilaterally and they don't pay any attention to international law. The world sees this, and they also see that it gets us into terrible wars. The next one, I believe, is going to really shake the world. And so people want to put some kind of restraint on these nations who act unilaterally. And that's what this covenant is all about, is to make everybody abide by a set of rules. Sounds good in the natural, doesn't it? To try to stop wars, you You just have one government instead of governments who fight with one another. The only drawback to it is you can have a civil war. And when you have a civil war in a one world order, that's a terrible war. That's the whole point. That's a terrible war. That's not like a war within a nation. That's a war within the one world nation, right? And actually what the Constitution for the Federation of Earth is building is kind of like a United Nations of the world, or let me say not a United Nations, but a United States of the world. They're uniting all nations into one government. The religious aspect of the covenant with many, we have many symbols throughout history that point this out to us. And the reason we have to pay attention to history is a more sure word of prophecy. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. History is what the future is like. God seeketh again those things which passed away. Meaning, he just repeats history. A good example of this is Constantine's covenant between all religions under the Roman Empire. It's a really good example of what's coming. You know, Constantine was an individual type of the corporate beast whose kingdom was divided by religious wars. You know, his kingdom was divided, and he knew that there was no way he could keep it together unless he did something. So what did he do? Well, he gathered all the false prophets of all the religions to form a Catholic, which means universal, church. And it was just a harlot that was married to the Roman Empire beast. That's all it was. And this is a type and a shadow of what's coming on the world right now, happening as we speak. You know, these false prophets that were gathered out of the religions of the world, they were just yes men to the Roman government. That's all they were. They paid them. You know, they gave them their position. They gave them authority over their so-called brethren out there in the world. And being people of the flesh and people of the world, they liked that. So they accepted this bribery and this lust for power and prestige. And the backslidden leadership of Christianity joined in this covenant. Now, I had somebody ask me recently, well, David, how is it that the righteous will make such a covenant? Well, they're not going to make such a covenant, but it won't make any difference, you see, if the beast kingdom recognizes somebody who's over you to make a covenant for you, then there isn't much you can do about it. You can break the covenant, and the Christians will break the covenant. See, a lot of people think that the beast is going to break the covenant. No, the beast isn't going to break the covenant. The Christians are going to break the covenant. It doesn't say that. It just says the burnt offering shall be taken away. It doesn't say that the beast breaks the covenant. In fact, Ezekiel 17 is plain that it is going to be God's people that will break the covenant. They're going to break it in a couple of ways. Number one, they're going to fight against the beast. Some of them are. And they will break the covenant. And number two, the true Christians are just going to refuse to bow down to the image of the beast. They will break the covenant. You say they didn't make the covenant. That's true. But the worldly recognized Christian leadership did. And if they recognize them, what can you do? Well, this corporate false prophet, just like the end time false prophet, exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight, the scripture says. And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Notice that. He maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Worship the beast? Well, that's a mixture of religious and secular, isn't it? That's a mixture of a religious beast with a secular beast. That's kind of a God and country patriotism that's coming upon the world here. Just remember, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, that which hath been is that which shall be. God is going to repeat history. You know, our modern day revival of the Roman beast is, the foundation of it is the United Nations. Because remember, we found out that the beast devours all nations. There's only one beast kingdom now that's devoured all nations, that all nations are with inside of it, and that's the United Nations. And it is now uniting all the religions of the earth into a truly universal church harlot, a true Catholic church, a modern-day Catholic church. You know, a lot of people think that what's going to happen is the beast is going to give authority to the old Catholic Church to rule the world. But that's not true. History is repeating on a much larger scale. It's larger than the Catholic Church. Just as the Catholic Church was the result of joining all religions together into one, they're doing the same thing today in the UN, joining all religions together into one. It's a repetition of history on a larger scale. It's a new Catholic Church. That's the one you have to be worried about, not the old Catholic Church. The old Catholic Church is just one of many in this new covenant. And they're doing this in an attempt to bring peace to the world, because they're frantically trying to avoid another world war. And again, it's going to be a world war that's going to cause the people to actually act upon what the religious people have been working on for years, and the UN's been working on for years. But you can't get everybody to agree unless they're afraid. You know, the United Religious Initiative, the URI, is putting together a UN of all the religions of the world, and they call it United Religions. And they're doing this in a hope of bringing peace to the world. But we know that there's no peace outside of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, right? It just is not going to happen. Well, the World Conference on Religion and Peace is another such organization. The World Council of Churches is an ecumenical consortium of Christian denominations. That's another organization. And many organizations are working towards the same end, is to bring unity between churches, religions, so on and so forth. They've been working feverishly at this for years. The UN is now catching on. It's empowering them to bring this to pass. These large organizations have made preparations for a one-world harlot. The harlot of the end time is different from the harlots of the past. You know, the harlot in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, is the mother of the harlots of the earth. She is the corporate body out of which comes all the daughter harlots. And in the end time, there is going to be a corporate body mother within whom are all the daughter harlots. It's just, again, a larger scale. And the leadership of this harlot will be a corporate false prophet. You say, why a corporate false prophet? Because the Bible doesn't say anything about a false prophet. Jesus said nothing about a false prophet, and none of his disciples said anything about a false prophet. It's just not there. Everybody calls the second beast in Revelation 13 the false prophet. That's good. I believe it is a corporate body that we could call the false prophet. But it's a corporate body. There have been many corporate body false prophets throughout history. You know, this uniting of religions in one covenant will become official when the beast shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. The Millennium World Peace Summit at the United Nations. Notice, at the United Nations. From August 28th through the 31st of 2000, met to form, listen to this, I'm quoting, a permanent council of religious leaders to advise the UN on preventing and settling disputes. There it is, exactly what Constantine did, but notice, it's not a man doing it this time. It's the United Nations. Once again, we see God using individuals to be a type and a shadow of a corporate body. There are only two men in the earth, we found out. You are one in Christ Jesus, and the whole world lies in the evil one. There's he that's in you, and there's he that's in the world. That's what the scripture teaches. So this corporate body principle is seen in parts and pieces, and in other parts and pieces it's not seen. People believe that the woman is a corporate body. The harlot is a corporate body. But for some reason they haven't picked up on the beast as a corporate body too. So they met to form this permanent council of religious leaders to advise the UN on preventing and settling disputes. Their words, not mine. The representatives of Judaism and Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and Sikhism and Shintoism and Spiritism and Taoism and Jainism and Buddhism and Zoroastrianism and Confucianism, they were all there. This is, in the largest sense, the false prophet over the New World harlot. If you go back into Jesus' day, I'll remind you of something the Lord told me, that everything that happened in the days of Jesus and his apostles, in the days of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, is going to happen again, except the cast of characters is going to be multiplied many times over. That's what the Lord told me. But if you go back into Jesus' day, look around for the false prophet back there, because the beast was there. The Roman beast was there. The son of perdition was there. The Christ was there. The harlot was there. Apostate Judaism, they were all there. So the false prophet had to be too, right? Well, the false prophet was the Sanhedrin. The great council at Jerusalem. It's the forefather of what's rising up now. The covenant joins the beast and the harlot. The secular and the religious. That's what this covenant's going to do. Just exactly what's happened in history. Ahab and Jezebel are a perfect type and shadow of this. They were individual types of the beast and harlot. Now, most people recognize Jezebel as the harlot, and many people preach about Jezebel being the harlot. But of course, Ahab was the beast, an individual type of a corporate body. Notice that their covenant united the false religions and the apostate people of God with a ten-horned beast, because Ahab was the king over the northern 10 tribes. He had 10 horns. He was the beast with 10 horns. And guess what? Ahab and Jezebel were married. There's a covenant. And the covenant is between the harlot and the beast over the people of God, just like this covenant that's coming. See, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. God is just repeating. 1 Kings 18 and 17. And it came to pass that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Is it thou, thou troubler of Israel?" Well, Ahab was the beast who made war against the witnesses. You remember Elijah was a type and a shadow of one of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, right? And Ahab represented the beast that made war on the witnesses. Ahab, the ten-horned beast. But he accused Elijah of being the troubler of Israel. See, the problem with the true Christians in the last days is that they're going to get the blame for everything that's wrong in the world. Did you ever notice that kind of what happened in World War II with the Jews? It was anti-Semitism. Well, there's going to be not only anti-Semitism this time, but anti-Christianism, anti-Christ. God's people are going to get the blame for the trouble of not letting this be a peaceful covenant that unites the world. Because most of Christians don't even know that this covenant is going to actually be the covenant of the beast. They don't know that. You know, they're sold on their God and country patriotism. They worship the country that they belong to because they belong to it. They don't judge according to the word to see that it is an evil, apostate government that's against Christianity. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, the word says. Well, Elijah answered. He said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Balaam. You know the Balaam was, right? The Balaam was Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. Baal was the false Jesus. He was the beast Jesus. He was the false Yahweh. He was the golden calf represented Baal, the false Yahweh. It's a false Christ, an Antichrist. So the beast bought in to the Antichrist spirit, and his wife, Jezebel, bought in to the Antichrist spirit. And most Christians, I might add, since 10 tribes out of 12 tribes followed the beast and the image of the beast, which is the golden calf, and the things that have been are the things that shall be, folks, this just means that a large falling away is coming. Just exactly what the scripture teaches of those people who are not truly Christian in their life. They turned away from God. Verse 19 says, Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of Asherah, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. Well, these false prophets ate at the harlot's table. In other words, they were fed from the harlot's table. The harlot of apostate religion feeds their leaders and feeds them well, too. The prophets of Baal, they represent the false gods of the Protestantism, because Baal was the false Jesus Christ. He was Nimrod, who was called the Son of God. And Baal, through the virgin Semiramis, brought forth the Son of God, Tammuz, at the time of Babel. So the whole false religion, false Christianity, in the time of Babel, that's what Baal represented. And the prophets of the Asherah, that represents the Mariolatry religions, the religions that worship the Virgin, the Mother of God, they call. Of course, she's not the Mother of God. Mary is not the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of His flesh, according to Romans 1 and 3. He was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit. So she's not the Mother of God. She's the Mother of His natural life. And God, of course, is that Spirit on the inside of Jesus. Jesus called Himself Son of Man and Son of God. Okay? And Jezebel was the name of the harlot in Revelation chapter 2, 20 through 22. So we know that she's the harlot. In fact, it says there that basically she's going to be cast into tribulation. These two groups, the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the Asherah, together represent the two horns of the second beast in Revelation 13, which is a religious beast. The first one is the secular beast. The second one is the religious beast. And it's ruled by the false prophets, just like the harlot's always been ruled by the false prophets. Now, Jezebel ruled Ahab, didn't she? Just as the harlot rode the beast in Revelation 17, Jezebel ruled over Ahab. We have a harlot and a beast joined in marriage. We have a covenant made with many. Covenant. A marriage is a covenant. You know, Jezebel, like the harlot in Revelation, was guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. She was killing the witnesses of the Lord. She was also devoured by the dogs, which is exactly what happens in Revelation, is that the beast devours the harlot. She united apostate Protestantism and Mariolatry churches under the Ten Horns. The Mariolatry churches are like the Catholic Church and many of the churches that sprung out of the Catholic Church. The Eastern Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, a lot of the unorthodox Orthodox churches. These are Mariolatry churches. Very large group, by the way, the largest of what is called Christianity. And her corporate two-horned false prophet deceives 10 of the 12 tribes. Revelation 13 and 11 says, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Well, the first beast was a dragon, but this one spake as a lamb. You know, there's a fake Christianity out there. They proclaim to be speaking for the lamb, but they're speaking for the beast, because they're married to the beast. They're united with the beast. Now, I'm not denying the fact that there is another secular harlot, and that is America, with its false prophet, which is her government. But I'm just talking about the religious harlot right now. Now, I had a really good friend a few years ago that fellowshiped with me quite a bit. I haven't seen him much in a while. But one day I was preaching on this, and he came in and shared a revelation that he had just received. It was an awesome dream concerning the end time. He said, "I went to church, and I went to the altar to get delivered from smoking. And there were many people up front at the altar. And I knew that the pastor was walking towards me to get away from someone who smelled like smoke. And I thought, I hope he doesn't come down here, because I smell like smoke too." And just then my sister came up to me very happy, and she said, "Oh, it's okay now. Look over there." And I looked over and I saw this man light up a cigarette. And there were some booths and a sign that read, "Smoking section." And people said to him, "You don't have to quit, because now you can smoke in church." I said, "No, I don't want to quit smoking," Mark said. Well, this just represents legalizing sin in church, doesn't it? The calling good evil and evil good, as the scripture said would happen in these days. Smoke is an unclean breath, is what it is. And spiritually smoking is to partake of an unclean spirit, because breath and spirit are the same word in both the Old and the New Testament. An unclean spirit. What unclean spirit could the church be partaking of, since the harlot is married to the beast? Well, it's the spirit of Antichrist, isn't it? Where is the Antichrist? In the holy place, in the temple of God. We'll talk about this more later. But this is happening, folks. It's been happening throughout history. Then Mark said the scene changed, and he saw on TV that the whole world was rejoicing because a great agreement had been made to have one church. The whole world was rejoicing. One church. Well, I'm assured that he's talking about agreement to disagree, because obviously they're not all going to agree on every aspect of religion. Matter of fact, this goes on to say that. Listen to what he said. He said, "I saw the agreement, and it was two stacks of paper." I likened it to the two horns of the false prophet. But he said nothing was written on the paper. Well, here you have an agreement, but nothing's written on the paper. That's kind of a sign that the religions will drop their doctrinal demands in order to have unity. They're going to live and let live, right? I tell you, I think the world is going to be desperate to do something here, because they have just seen a war that has scared them. They're going to be desperate to have unity. And the main cog in the wheel that's in the way is the true Christians, because they're not going to agree to this unity. As you know, we can't give up our doctrinal demands in order to have peace with the pagans. Mark said, "Then I went to see this one world church. It was so big, I couldn't even see the other end of it. I happened to look in the wrong door and noticed a giant ministers' conference. They were being shown a film on how to scan a beam of light." Listen to this. How to scan a beam of light, which represents the word, doesn't it? The light represents the word. "Across the foreheads of their congregation, giving them the mark of the beast without them knowing it." Wow. Giving them the mark of the beast without them knowing it. You know, folks, come out from among them and be separate, because what they're preaching is actually giving people. They're using the word of God, the beam of light, in order to give people the mark of the beast without them knowing it. The mark of the beast in the forehead is not just a physical thing, it's also a spiritual thing. The mark of the beast in the forehead is the mind of the flesh. That's what identifies the beast, the mind of the flesh. And the mark of the beast on the hand is the works. And the Lord told me many years ago, He taught me about the spiritual mark before He taught me about the physical mark. Years ago, He showed me that the people who take the mark are taking it because they walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which the Bible says you will die for. Romans chapter 8. I'm not denying that there's a physical mark, but what I am saying is what the Lord told me, and that is that if you have the spiritual mark, you will take the physical mark. If you are walking in the flesh, you will have to take this mark, and you will justify it, and the religious leaders will justify it too. Since they don't know the signs of the time, they don't even know who the beast is, how could they possibly worry about making a covenant with him? The Jews didn't know they had a covenant with the Roman beast in their day to crucify the saints. Exactly what's coming to us. The Jews didn't know that either. So they didn't recognize the covenant. And they didn't recognize that they were the murderers of the saints, just like the harlot Jezebel was, and just like the harlot in Revelation was. They didn't recognize it. So they didn't think that was the mark of the beast, right? And Christians who are convinced of their letter interpretations of Scripture, they're not going to be convinced that this is the covenant. They're not going to be convinced that the beast has made the covenant. They're not going to be convinced that they are in the harlot. And they are being taught by using the Word of God to walk in the flesh. They use the beam of light across their foreheads to give them the mark of the beast without them knowing it. And they will justify it. I heard a man who is famous for his end time book, Left Behind, say that don't worry about it. The mark of Christ will overcome the mark of the beast. I never heard of such foolishness and dangerous doctrine in all my life. Of course, he has the unconditional eternal security doctrine. But, no, it won't. You've either got the mark of Christ or you've got the mark of the beast. But you're not going to have them both. Listen, folks, if they take you and put a mark on you, if they physically take you and put a mark on you, this kind of thing has been done in the past. But there's nothing that they physically overcome you and put on you that will send you to hell. There's two things mentioned in Revelation 14. They had the mark and they worshiped the beast. Now, nobody can make you worship the beast. They might could physically put a mark on you, but they can't make you worship the beast. It was definitely two things there that had to be done. There are Christians that are going to take it willingly because they don't have the fortitude to go out in the wilderness and live with the saints. They don't have the faith to walk by faith if they can't buy and sell with the beast. And of course, anybody that takes it willingly is damned, according to Revelation 14. You cannot make a covenant with the world and have a covenant with God at the same time. You cannot do it. Christians are forbidden to covenant with unbelievers, or else they will have no covenant with God. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18 says. He said, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." He said, And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And who is it that's in all the unbelievers? The dragon was Satan in a seven-head, ten-horned body. Satan is being manifested in the people of the world just as Christ is being manifested in the people from heaven. So what concord, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? And you know, folks, these religions, these dead religions, they are idols. If you don't believe it, you just go try to bring the Word of God to some of those people. They will quote their doctrine. They don't care how many verses you show them, they will quote their doctrine. And they just know they're right because they idolize their pastor. But we're a temple of God, and God walks in the temple of God. God lives in His temple. Jesus was the temple of God, and they killed Him. Then they killed His disciples. They're going to do the same thing today. They are of their fathers. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 also says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing." Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what an unbeliever is in the church today? It's somebody that doesn't have the works of Jesus. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." That's an unbeliever. If you're in a church and they don't have the works of Jesus, they don't believe in the power of Jesus, they don't believe in the power over sin, they don't believe in the power over the devil, they don't believe in the power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Jesus said, "These signs will accompany them that believe." So if you're in a church that's not doing those things, you're unequally yoked with unbelievers. They have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. The Bible commands you from such, turn away. Turn away. Get out of them. Because you know where they're going? They're going to happily take the mark of the beast, just like the northern ten tribes who worship their golden calf that they called Jehovah or Yahweh. That's where they're headed, folks. They will deceive you. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Don't be unequally yoked with these people. Come out from among them. It's the multitudes, just like it was in Jesus' day. The multitudes were in apostate religion. They wouldn't come out like the disciples did, the few disciples that came out. The ecclesia, the called out ones, you are the called out ones. You're invited to come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't be unequally yoked with these unbelievers. They will take the mark. They will not recognize the beast. They will not recognize the harlot. They will not know what's come over them. A strong delusion has come over them because of the traditions of men have made no effect the Word of God. Come out from among them before it's too late. Matthew 24:9 says, "You shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake." Of all the nations. So what are these people going to do? Since they don't want to be hated by the nations, they're going to make an agreement that gives them peace with the nations. But if you make peace with the nations, you're the enemy of God. That's what James said. Don't make yourself an enemy of God because you love the world and you want peace with the world. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. In other words, if you're going to live godly, the world is not going to like you. The worldly church is not going to like you. The worldly church has always killed the disciples of Jesus and killed the prophets. the worldly church. Try your best to be hated by these people. You shall be hated of all the nations. Why is that? That's the beast. All the nations for my name's sake. No, the whole world is going to see the true Christians as the spoilers of this covenant. Like Ahab called Elijah, thou troubler of Israel. And he said, I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your house have troubled Israel. They're going to be seen as the spoilers of the covenant, the spoilers of the peace, the spoilers of prosperity. And they're going to use the mark of the beast to make these people criminals. Do you remember how they trapped Daniel? They made an edict that nobody could worship anything but the beast. And they did it just strictly to trap Daniel. Then they spied on him and found out he was still worshiping his God. But God delivered him out of the mouths of the lions, didn't he? And the three Hebrews, didn't they do the same thing with them? They made an edict to worship the image of the beast, knowing that these people couldn't do it. So, in other words, the mark of the beast and the image of the beast is just a way to make outlaws out of God's people so that they can persecute them. It is a way to separate God's people from the world. You see, God's got a plan, the devil's got a plan. It just so happens the devil's plan is included in God's plan. The devil wants the mark of the beast in order to kill the Christians. The Lord wants the mark of the beast in order to separate the Christians from the world, which they refuse to do. So God has ordained the mark of the beast to separate the wheat from the tares. It's a good plan. It'll work. Because the people among us who don't really have faith know that they can't live in the wilderness separate from the beastly world. And since they have the mark of the beast already, spiritually, they're going to take the physical mark in order to have peace and safety and provision from the world. They do it now. They do it now. The apostates now, they don't trust in God for the promises of God. They run to the world every time. They put their trust in man. Now, what makes you think that they would trust in God then? They can't do it now. Because they're not believers. According to Jesus' criterion for a believer, they're not believers. You can't believe what you want and be a believer. So God is basically just like He did in the wilderness with the Israelites. He is separating the believers from the non-believers. Of course, they were all Israelites. But that's not what He was after. He was after the believers. And the mark is going to separate the believers from the non-believers. You know, brethren, right now, learn to walk in the wilderness right now. Put your trust in God. Start living by His promises. If you live by His promises, there's nowhere on this earth you can be that God won't provide your needs, separate from the beast. And you'll have eternal life. You know, the Bible says the righteous shall live from faith. Learn that God's provision is true. It's sure. Just as sure as it was through the Lord Jesus. Jesus provided for all of God's people. If it entailed Him feeding them, He fed them. If it entailed Him healing them, He healed them. If it entailed deliverance, He cast the demons out. Provision, holiness, it didn't make any difference. God, through His promises, has given us all these things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, God has provided for us everything. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Lord has already given us everything we need on this earth through his promises. And he goes on there in Peter to say that he's given all this through his promises. If we hold to God's promises, he will provide our needs. We won't have to run to the world. We can walk by faith. The righteous shall live from faith. God is separating the righteous from the wicked. The mark is a method to do that, that God sent to do that. That the whole world is gathering together into one body, and that the true Christians are gathering together in the other body, is God's plan. The whole world lieth in the evil one, and you are one in Christ Jesus. God bless you, brethren.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
My thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you.